ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हरे कृष्ण. So, from today, we'll have a very special Bhagavatam class. Srila Sanatan Goswami wrote a book called Brihad Bhagavatamrita. That is he took the essential understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam and elaborated that in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Brihat means large, big. And Bhagavatamrita, nectarian Srimad Bhagavatam. He took the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam and made it big. So that is the subject matter of our classes in the morning for next few days until the 23rd. Sanatan Goswami, does everybody know who is Sanatan Goswami? Who knows about Sanatan Goswami? Raise your hand. Hi, so that I can see. Who doesn't know about Sanatan Goswami? Raise your hand. Okay, I'll briefly discuss about Sanatan Goswami. Sanatan Goswami was one of the most intimate associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had some very close devotees who went to Vrindavan upon Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions. They are known as Goswamis. And six of them are principal, known as Sat Goswami. And Sanatan Goswami was the foremost of all the six Goswamis. Those six Goswamis are Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami and Sri Jiva Goswami. There are other Goswamis also, but these six are the principal. There is also Lokanath Goswami, Bhugarva Goswami, Kashishwar Goswami, then Raghav Goswami. So these are all very exalted associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were Goswamis. Mahaprabhu had two types of devotees. One type of devotees were the householders, those who stayed at home. And another group of devotees who left home and went to Vrindavan. And Sanatan Goswami was the chief of those Goswamis. Sanatan Goswami was the Prime Minister of the King of Bengal at that time. He was a very exalted personality. He was born in a very well-known, very exalted Brahmana family. Those Brahmana families moved from Karnat, South India, to Bengal. His six generations before, his forefather shifted from Karnat to Bengal. And they settled down in Bengal. So, Sanatan Goswami had two other brothers. Actually, Sanatan Goswami's original name was Amar Dev. There were three brothers, Amar Dev, Santosh Dev, and Ballav Dev. Amar, Santosh, and Ballav. He was the eldest. And Santosh, the second brother, became known as Srila Rupa Goswami. And Ballav, third brother, was Anupam. Became known as Anupam. So they were brahmanas, naturally they were very much absorbed in spiritual activities, scriptural studies and so forth, like other brahmanas. But when the king got to know about their glory, that how exalted their personalities they were, then the king wanted to have them in his court as ministers. The king was not a Hindu king, he was a Muslim king, Hushain Shah. He was a tyrant, extremely ferocious person. But one thing, just as the we can see those days, the Muslims, while ruling the country, they appointed exalted, intelligent, capable Indians, Hindus, in their court. Like in Akbar's court, there were many Hindus. As you know, Birbal was the chief minister of Akbar. Similarly, Tansen was in the court of Akbar, a great musician. So in this way, the Hindus and Muslims those days were living quite peacefully, coexisting. And actually, Sanatan Goswami, the Hussein Shah, the king of Bengal, got to know about Sanatan, these three brothers' extraordinary qualities. So he appointed them, he appointed Sanatan Goswami, Amar Dev, as his prime minister. And Santosh as the assistant prime minister, and Ballav as the treasurer. So all three brothers were holding the three most important positions in the court. And practically they were ruling the country at that time. But because they took a job of the Muslim king, the Brahmana society rejected them. Those days, the Hindu society was so rigid that if anybody had any contact with a Muslim, they used to throw him out, outcast him. This is how many people were actually forced to become Muslims. Forced to, because they were driven out of the Hindu society. So when they were driven out of the Hindu society, where could they go? So they had to become Muslims. In this respect, there is one. There are many such instances when people are forced to become Muslim. And anyway, let us. So Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami, although they were the king's Muslim king's employee, the ministers, but they held on to their original Brahminical culture. In their house they had the areas which is still available. Still there is a place called Ramkeli where their house used to be, and they actually made Vrindavan. Their house was Vrindavan. Their large house, and that place has Radha Kund, Sham Kund, Govardhan. So they were all living in Vrindavan, so to say. And they wrote to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to deliver them. They knew that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, now came to distribute Krishna consciousness. So they wrote to him that please bestow your mercy upon us and deliver us from this miserable material existence. So in this way, Sanatana Goswami submitted himself to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And while Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to Vrindavan from Jagannath Puri, he stopped in Ramkeli, the place where Sanatana Goswami is living. This place is the outskirt of the capital of Bengal at that time, known as Gaur, which is now known as Maldaha, in the northern part of Bengal. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stopped at that place, and Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Anupam's youngest son, little son, Jiva Goswami, also was brought. And they begged him with straw in their mouth. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami and Anupam begged him to bestow his mercy upon them. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu naturally accepted them. But from that time, after that, Rupa Goswami left home and he went to Vrindavan. And along with his younger brother, Anupam. Sanatana Goswami stayed on, but he stopped going to the court. And the king questioned why Sakar Malik was not coming to the court. And people went, then the report came that he was very sick. So the king sent the doctor to check him. The doctor said, he's all right, he's not sick. So the Muslim king, Hussein Shah, himself went to Sanatana Goswami's place. And he found that Sanatana Goswami is sitting with the brahmanas and discussing about Srimad Bhagavatam. They're discussing Krishna's pastime from Srimad Bhagavatam. So the king became very angry that you are lying. Why are you saying that you are sick and stop coming to the court? Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan ki jai. Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nithai ki jai. So the king was, king questioned. Then Sanatana Goswami told him, look, I am not interested in the service anymore. My heart is somewhere else. Please relieve me. The king Hussein Shah said, look, your brother is a dacoit. He is addressing himself as Sanatana Goswami's brother, younger brother. He said, your younger brother is a dacoit. All he knows is to plunder other kingdoms, kill other people, and he is not capable of running the country. So you are actually the person who is running the country. Now if you don't take up the responsibility, what will happen? But still Sanatana Goswami insisted. Then Hussein Shah says, look, I am going to attack the king of Orissa. At that time, king of Orissa was Pratap Rudra. Very powerful. He was about the only Hindu king ruling at that time. And his kingdom spread from Orissa to Andhra, all the way up to Madras. He had a large kingdom. So Hussein Shah was about to go to a battle, war with King Hushansha. I mean Pratap Rudra. So he asked Sanatan Goswami to come with him. Sanatan Goswami said, no, you are just going to cause trouble to the Supreme Lord, that is Lord Jagannath. You are going to attack his kingdom. So I don't know, please excuse me. So King Hushansha became very angry. So he told his bodyguards to arrest him and put him in the prison. So Sanatan Goswami was put into prison. But he was a very intelligent person, and also he had his influence, and he also had money. So he bribed the prison in charge, and he escaped. And these are all very interesting stories. Anyway, since I started, let me briefly narrate that. The Sanatana Goswami told the prison keeper, that look, you are a very pious person. So I simply want to dedicate myself in the service of the Lord. But the king did not understand that, so he arrested me. So if you let me go, then your Lord will be very pleased with you. Allah will be very pleased with you. So he said, look, if the king comes, finds out that I let you go, then he'll kill me. So then Sanatana Goswami said, look, before that he proposed that I'll give you a lot of money. So you'll have both benefit. You'll have material benefit and you'll have spiritual benefit also. You'll have the material benefit in the form of getting money, and you'll get the spiritual benefit because you have helped a sadhu to become engaged in the service of the Lord. So he said, no, I can't risk it. So please excuse me. So then Sanatana Goswami said, look, there's nothing to be afraid of. The king, you tell him that I was taken to the bank of the river to excrete, and my hands and feet were tied with chains, and I fell in the river and I got drowned. So the innkeeper and the prison keeper, he liked the idea. And after all, he also was tempted with the large sum of money that he would get. So he did that, and Sanatana Goswami ran away from there. He just, through the Ganges, he swam across and he walked all the way to Vrindavan. And on the way, he met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Prayag. Anyway, so Sanatana Goswami was staying, although he was the chief prime minister of the king, very, very exalted position, very opulent, very wealthy, very famous, but still he left everything. That is the attraction for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All everything material becomes totally insignificant compared to that attraction. So in this way you'll find many of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates were extremely rich people, extremely wealthy. Raghunath Das Goswami was the only son of a king. In the whole family, he was the only son, only successor to the dynasty. Narottam Das Thakur also. In this way, there were many, many very wealthy people gave up everything being attracted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Sanatana Goswami wrote this Brihad Bhagavatam. It's a beautiful book which is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. What is the essence? What is Srimad Bhagavatam? Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna himself. Bhagavatam has 12 cantos. The first two cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam are the legs of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the lotus feet of the Lord. Then third and fourth cantos are his thighs. The fifth canto is his abdomen. Sixth canto is the chest. Seventh and eighth cantos are his arms. Ninth canto is his neck. Tenth canto is his smiling lotus-like face. 11th canto is his forehead, and 12th canto is the head. So in the body, which is the most important part? How do you recognize a person? When you see a person, do you see his hand? Do you recognize him by his hand? Do you recognize him by his feet? Do you recognize him by his stomach? Do you recognize him by his neck? How do you recognize him? By his face. So the 10th canto is the actual identity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. It has also been described that Bhagavat Mahapuran, Srimad Bhagavatam is Mahapuran. There are many Purans, but Srimad Bhagavatam is the Mahapuran. And this Mahapuran has 10 symptoms. And of these 10 symptoms, the highest one is the Samambonam, Ashraya, which is Krishna. The purpose of Bhagavatam is to establish the identity of the Supreme Personality of God. Krishna. And in Brihad Bhagavatam Ritam, Sanatana Goswami has done that. And this, he has very systematically established the actual purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam. Actual purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam is, in 10th canto, what do we find? Krishna's Braja Leela. There are three different pastimes of Krishna: Dwarka Leela, Mathura Leela, and Vrindavan Leela. Of these three, Vrindavan pastimes are the highest. Krishna in Vrindavan is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That has been very clearly established in Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, in Brihad Bhagavatam Ritam, Sanatana Goswami established that point. Brihad Bhagavatam Ritam has two parts. First part and second part. The first part actually is Narad Muni's search for the greatest devotee of the Lord. Narad Muni is trying to find out who is the greatest devotee of the Lord. That is the first part. And second part is a journey of a boy called Gop Kumar back to the spiritual sky, back to Golok Vrindavan. So these are the two parts of Brihad Bhagavatam. Brihad Bhagavatam Ritam background is when Parikshit Maharaj was cursed by Brahmana boy Sringi that he would leave his body, that he'll die within 7 days being bitten by Takshak. Then what did Parikshit Maharaj do? Parikshit Maharaj went to the bank of the Ganges and he was preparing for leaving his body. He is preparing to leave his body. So at that time, Sukadev Goswami came. And Sukadev Goswami narrated, Sukadev Goswami instructed Parikshit Maharaj And that instruction of Sukadeva Goswami is Srimad Bhagavatam. So upon hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from Sukadeva Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj became completely peaceful in his mind. He became completely fixed up on Krishna, and he became completely fearless of any material calamity. So at that time, his mother, Uttara Devi, came to him and asked him, "My son, at a time like this, when you are leaving this planet, being cursed by a Brahmana, and now that you have received his instructions, the wonderful instructions from your spiritual master, Srila Sukadeva Goswami, so now you please tell me, give me your understanding, the essence of what you heard." He spoke for 7 days. Sukadeva Goswami spoke for 7 days. So, for these 7 days, he spoke so much. Apparently, here Uttara, Parikshit Maharaj's mother, couldn't properly understand what was the real instruction. So she asked Parikshit Maharaj to tell her what was the real instruction. So then, and she requested, she told him that just as cream comes out by churning milk, butter comes out by churning milk, just as by churning ocean nectar came out, churning all these wonderful narration of Srimad Bhagavatam, what you understood, please essence that, please narrate that essential nectar unto me. So then Parikshit Maharaj started to tell his mother, Uttara Devi. And that is actually this Brihad Bhagavatam. She narrated that on the bank of the Ganges, Prayag, in Prayag is actually in the confluence of Ganga and Jamuna. So, on the confluence of Jamuna and Ganga, in the place of Prayag, the saintly personalities, the Brahmana, exalted Brahmanas, and sages, they all assembled, and they all were glorifying each other. That you are the greatest devotee. You are the recipient. You are the recipient of the Lord's mercy. So, at that time, Narad Muni also was present there. And at that time, one Brahmana came and he was carrying shaligram. He placed the shaligram on a golden throne and he worshipped shaligram. He offered various types of delicious bhoga to the Lord in the form of shaligram. And then he washed the feet of the saintly people there. And then he served them this prasad. And after serving the prasad, he served everybody up. Even to the outcasts, like chandalas, then even to the dogs and other animals, those prasad of the Lord. And then upon the request of the saintly people, they requested him to now take prasad. So he, along with his family, after feeding all the brahmanas and everybody, took the prasad. So seeing that, Narad Muni felt that this is the greatest devotee of the Lord. So he started to glorify the Brahmana, that he was the greatest devotee of the Lord. So the Brahmanas say, what is the greatness in me? I just am taking care of the Lord. But I am a fallen living entity. What is my ability? But actually, the real devotee of the Lord is the king in South India. He has many temples of the Lord. And there he worships the Lord with the greatest grandeur. And in his kingdom, he is taking care of everyone in such a wonderful way that everybody in his kingdom is submissive to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as a result of that, there is so much prosperity in his kingdom that without tilling the land, the grains grow there. They don't have to till the land. They just sprinkle the seeds and the grains grow. The place is full with fruits and flowers and all kinds of wonderful trees. Everybody is so happy and free from any anxiety. And the king treats all his citizens like his own son. So he is the real devotee of the Lord. He has received the mercy of the Lord. So immediately Narad Muni went to that king in South India and he saw the wonderful arrangement the king made to worship the Supreme Lord. And he started to glorify the king for his exceptional qualities, exceptional devotion, and started to praise him, calling him the greatest devotee of the Lord. But the king, very humbly, told him that, what is the greatness, what is my devotion? What is the devotion you are seeing in me? What is the mercy of the Lord you are seeing in me? I am just an ordinary human being. What is my ability? The real devotee of the Lord is actually King Indra, the king of the demigods. And then he started to glorify Indra's devotional qualities. So, Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki Jai. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan ki Jai. Jai Shri Shri Gaunitai ki Jai. So he started to glorify Indra, how he received the mercy of the Lord. He said that the Lord has become Indra's younger brother. Who is that personality? Which is this incarnation of the Lord? Vamandev, Upendra. And he receives the worship personally from Indra. And Indra is in the heavenly planet, surrounded by the demigods and all the celestial beings. The place is so opulent. There is a Parijata tree that fulfills all the desires. What to speak of the tree? Even a flower of the tree can fulfill all desires. Indra's horse is Uchchaishrava, that came from churning the milk ocean. Indra's elephant is Airavat, the most powerful elephant. And in this way, he started to glorify Indra's opulence as the mercy of the Lord. And so Narad Muni immediately went to the heavenly planet and he saw Indra and he started to glorify Indra as the recipient of the Lord's mercy. Then Indra felt very humble. He said, no, I am not that I am not the recipient of the Lord's mercy. Actually, it is embarrassing the way the Lord protects me and saves me from the embarrassing situation. You are saying that I am living in such opulence and such austere, such auspicious atmosphere. But please consider that so many times the demons come and drive us away from our kingdom, and just like Bali drove us away from kingdom, my kingdom, and took over the position of heavenly king, and he put his demoniac associates as different controllers of sun, moon, and all the other departments. At that time, my father and mother performed great austerities, and as a result of that austerity, the Lord appeared as Vamandev. And it's so embarrassing that he had to deceive Bali to take the kingdom and give it to me. And then Vritra, I had to kill Vritrasura. But everybody could see what a disgraceful act it was on my part. And in this way, Indra started to describe his inabilities and shortcomings. And then Indra told, actually, Brahma is the greatest devotee. And he described why Brahma is the greatest devotee. So immediately, Narad Muni went to Brahma and started to glorify Brahma. Then Brahma became very embarrassed and he told Narad, then Narad, how many times I have to correct you that not to speak like that? You are glorifying me as a great devotee, but what is the greatness in me? I make so many mistakes and the Lord forgives me again and again. But actually, the real devotee is Lord Shiva. The Lord treats him as his friend. And so in this way, Brahma started to narrate the glory of Lord Shiva as the recipient of the Lord's mercy. So Narad Muni then went to Lord Shiva and started to glorify him. So Lord Shiva then told Narad, what is the greatness in me? So many times I caused so much distress to the Lord, and very mercifully he forgives me. You are calling me as a great devotee, but look at me, all my activities are so disgraceful at times. I cause so much distress and anxiety to the Lord so many times. I give benedictions to these demons, and then the Lord had to come himself to get rid of those demons. Sometimes I get into trouble myself, giving some benedictions like I gave to Brikasura, and that demon wanted to kill me and I was running. Then the Lord came to my rescue and he saved me. And in this way he just started to describe his shortcoming. And then Lord Shiva said, actually the real devotees of the Lord are the residents of Vaikuntha. So then he started to describe the glory of the residents of Vaikuntha, who are in the spiritual sky. Then Parvati told that actually, of all the residents of Vaikuntha, Lakshmi Devi is the greatest devotee. So Narad Muni was about to go to Vaikuntha, then Lord Shiva stopped him. Said, actually the greatest devotee, even more exalted than the resident of Vaikuntha, is Prahlad Maharaj, who resides in Sutala Loka. So Narad, and then he described Prahlad's glory. So Narad Muni then went to Prahlad Maharaj in Sutala Loka and started to glorify Prahlad Maharaj for his devotion. But Prahlad Maharaj then told him that what is the devotion in me? Just as a little child, I developed some, in a childish way, I was depending upon the Lord, considering Him to be my only shelter. But that was not real devotion. And in this way, Prahlad Maharaj also, in a very humble way, then started to describe that Hanuman is the greatest devotee. And he described why Hanuman is the greatest devotee. That look what he has done. He, for the sake of serving the Lord, he did so many wonderful things. I never rendered any service to the Lord. I simply depended upon Him in a childish way. But look at Hanuman, what he has done. Like he crossed the ocean, fought for the Lord, and killed the demons. In this way, Hanuman rendered so much service. That is the real sign of a devotee, and that is the way to win the favor of the Lord. So Hanuman is the real devotee. Then Narad Muni went to Hanuman, and when Narad Muni started to describe Hanuman as the recipient of the Lord's mercy, Hanuman started to cry. He said, what is the mercy? What is devotion? Like, if I was the devotee of the Lord, the Lord was kindly disposed upon me, then why he doesn't give me his darshan? Why he has rejected me? I don't get to see him. And he started to cry and tell about how unfortunate he is that he has become bereft of the Lord's mercy. Then Hanuman pointed out that the Pandavas are the greatest devotees. Because the Pandavas, the Lord is always with the Pandavas. So in this way, he started to sing the glory of the Pandavas as the greatest devotee. Then Narad Muni went to the Pandavas and started to glorify them. Then the Pandavas said, no, we are not the greatest devotees. The real devotees of the Lord are the Jadavas, the Jadus. The Lord appeared in their family. He is always with them. He is a part of that family. And they are so intimately related to Him. So then Narad Muni went to Dwarka and he went to the Sudharma assembly and he saw all the Jadus headed by Ugrasen is there, and he started to sing their glory as the greatest devotee. Then Ugrasen pointed out that of all the devotees, all the Jadus, all the Jadavas, actually Uddhav is the greatest devotee. Because Uddhav is always with the Lord. The Lord is always with Uddhav. Before the Lord gets up, Uddhava comes to the palace and stays with him through the whole day. And at night, after putting Krishna to bed, Uddhav leaves for his home. So his whole life is centered around Krishna. And then in this way they started to describe Uddhava's exalted position as the recipient of Lord's mercy. So just by hearing Uddhava's activities and glory, Narad Muni became so overwhelmed that he could not walk straight. He became so emotionally moved that with faltering feet he walked into the inner chamber, inner part of the palace of Krishna. And when he started to glorify Uddhava, Uddhava said, "You call me a devotee? Actually, I also used to have that kind of pride at one time, that I am the recipient of Lord's mercy. But ever since I went to Vrindavan, that misconception has been removed. After seeing the devotion of the residents of Vrindavan, I realized how insignificant I am." They are the real devotees of God. While speaking like that, Uddhava seemed to be a little absent-minded. And then Narad Muni noticed that Krishna is still lying on his bed. He didn't get up. He covered his whole body from head to feet with the chadar, and Krishna was on his bed. Because the night before, Krishna had a dream of the Brajavasis. And after dreaming about the Brajavasis, Krishna was feeling so emotionally overwhelmed that he was crying and he didn't get up. So, seeing Krishna in that condition, everyone was in great distress. So then, at that time, Rohini Mata, Mother Rohini, Balaram's mother, started to say that if Krishna is so feeling so bad about the residents of Vrindavan, and if Krishna is really so merciful upon the residents of Vrindavan, then why doesn't Krishna go to Vrindavan? Because in separation from Krishna, the residents of Vrindavan are in a very, very pathetic state. So, Narad Muni, then Balaram said, all these acts of Krishna is only pretension. Krishna is only acting. He doesn't really have any attachment to the residents of Vrindavan. But the residents of Vrindavan, just by chanting Krishna's name, they are maintaining their life. They didn't give up their lives because they have the holy name of Krishna. By chanting the holy name of Krishna, they are maintaining their lives. And hearing that, Krishna started to cry and started to tell that for the residents of Vrindavan, I am prepared to do anything, anything for their pleasure. And while speaking like that, holding on to, embracing Balaram, holding him by his neck, Krishna fainted and Balaram also fainted. So seeing Krishna and Balaram fainting like that, everyone started to cry. Then this noise, this sound reached the Sudharma assembly, and Ugrasen and all other senior members and all the Jadus came running inside the house, inside the palace. And they found them in that condition. Lord Brahma also appeared at that time. So Lord Brahma suggested that Vishwakarma creates a new Vrindavan near Dwarka, on the other side of the ocean. So he created immediately Vishwakarma created a new Vrindavan with all the figures of the residents of Vrindavan. And Brahma called Garuda and asked him to carry Krishna and Balaram to New Vrindavan. So, when they arrived there, then Balaram dressed Krishna up like a cowherd boy and dressed himself also as a cowherd boy. And Balaram told Krishna, "Krishna, wake up, it's already so late." And then Krishna woke up and said, "You know, brother, I had such a strange dream last night. I saw that I became a king. And I got married to 16,000 princesses." And Balaram said, "Okay, okay, let's go now. Everyone is waiting for you. See, it's already so late. We have to go to tend the cows in the pasturing ground." And in this way, he woke Krishna up. And then Krishna and Balaram, Krishna was running to meet the cowherd boys. And on the way he saw Mother Yashoda. When Mother Yashoda didn't speak to him, Krishna said, "Are you angry with me that I woke up so I slept still so late today?" And in this way Krishna was having exchanges with different residents of Vrindavan in a very loving way. And then when he met Radharani, he called her as his life and soul, Praneshwari. All these figures, but Krishna was thinking that they all were residents of Vrindavan and they were somehow annoyed with him for some reason. And then all of a sudden Krishna noticed that the other side of the ocean there is a Dwarka city. So Krishna told Balaram, "Hey Balaram," Krishna thought that this ocean is Jamuna, and Dwarka, seeing Dwarka, he was surprised. He said, "Krishna, Balaram, when did that city come up there on the other side of Jamuna?" Then Balaram said, "Krishna, your dear Pandavas are in great distress because the demoniac associates of Kamsa and Jarasandha are planning to fight against them. So they are in great difficulty." Then in this way Krishna came back to his senses. And then he said, "Who dares to do anything to my devotee? I'll immediately destroy them." So in this way Krishna came back to his senses. But through this, what did we find? Who is the greatest devotee? Srimati Radharani. So very systematically Sanatana Goswami took us to the highest platform of devotion to Krishna. The devotion of Vrindavan and of all the devotees of Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani is the greatest. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So we have 4 more days. So this is the first part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. But the second part of Brihad Bhagavatamritam I will cover in next 4 days. Today is 19th, 20th, 21st, 22nd, 23rd. Because that second part is the main part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So I'll stop now, and I'm not inviting any question today. And I'll see you all, the Surati devotees, at 11 o'clock today. Hare Krishna, Gaur Premanande.